I am very happy to have on the phone Margaret Joy Weaver, who's a 20-year resident of Sedona. She's co-founder of the Sedona International City of Peace. That's the 35th city of now 172 cities of peace around the world that are fostering cultures of peace within their communities through events, publications, education, and public policy. Now, I hope you all know that Thursday, September 21st, is International Peace Day. Or is it national? It is International Peace Day. That's good, because it needs to be international. And you've been a leader of international transformational training programs for more than 25 years. And it's so great that you're so passionate about interactive transformational programs. That really makes a difference. It's one thing to just say or write a poem like I like to do, but the interactive part is fascinating. So this Thursday, there's a special partnership with the Rotary Club of Sedona and the Sedona Public Library, which I just love. Welcome. It's so good to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited about what you're doing, because this is, I am a peace fanatic. I think it's so important now more than ever. But a lot of people think, oh gosh, what can you really do? And by your event that you're doing on the 21st from 4:30 to 7:30 at the Sedona Public Library, you're actually taking steps to make a difference with people learning how to interact. Now, tell me about your program and what you have planned.
Well, this actually is an international organization that has been doing this all around the world. It came out of Denmark, and there's 40 countries that have hosted a human library event. And this is the first year that we're doing it in Sedona. So it is a methodology that has really proven to be successful in making shifts for people. And what happens is we have about 30 human books. These are live books. And they're people that have typically been stereotyped or marginalized, dismissed, or even blatantly made wrong in various areas in our own society. So these books are really coming forth to share their story of that stereotype. And there will be 4 sessions in which people will come into the library. And sometimes it's done one-on-one. We're actually going to do it in small groups. So there can be anywhere from 1 to 4 to 8 people that are readers of this book, so to speak. And they'll share their story of their various challenges that they faced as a stereotype. And then there'll be an opportunity for people to ask questions and engage in a dialogue for about 15 minutes.
I've never heard of some. I love this concept of a human book, and this is the first time I've ever heard of it. But of course, each person has a life story, and if you think of them as a book, it's amazing. Now, how have you already chosen your live human books, or are you still looking for people, or how does that work?
Well, we actually have chosen them. There's been a process we've been working with for the last couple of months. And there are various categories that the organization recommends, and there's about 8 of them. And then from that, we select the various kinds of people that fit within those categories. So we have everybody from, a prisoner to someone that is a white man who grew up a quote-unquote red man, and that's the name of his book, actually. So I'm speaking things from their books. We also have the police chief who's going to be participating, somebody in Sedona, which again, some of these only could be in Sedona, but a psychic pedicurist. So
I love that.
I knew you would. Yeah. But we also have a woman combat vet who's going to be there, and a woman who has had a serious illness, and there are no painkillers that can take care of the pain that she would have from this illness, and the only thing that could is medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. So she has been on that and has been able to not only survive but have a successful business inside of that. So she's dealing with the stereotypes around that. We have people that are mentally ill, so we've had somebody that has been committed and institutionalized all the way to somebody with a veteran with PTSD, and then even a former Catholic nun. So she's dealing both with the prejudices of people have of women religious and their habits to the fact that she ended up leaving. And then, you know, we have a really interesting woman who is a Sikh, but many times Sikhs are, especially in this time, mistaken because of their clothing for being Muslim.
Uh-huh.
And plus her traditional things that she carries, one of which is a knife. She's often stopped, you know, in places because she's carrying this knife.
Interesting.
So really, people have come out to participate, and, you know, it takes a lot of courage for them to really strip down their own protection to open this up to the community.
It must have been an amazing process for you to talk and find these people and gather them.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, thanks for asking that, actually, because I'm kind of moved by it. You know, I've been able to meet people in the community that I may never have met.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was really, really committed to bring in the refugee community, because that's a real issue here in mm-hmm. Arizona, and also the homeless. And I myself have had a man that has lived on my property for 17 years. And I never call him homeless. I call him someone who has lived in the woods and chosen to live in the woods. And during this time, ironically, you know, I was thinking about having him participate, and he ended up getting an infected foot and has gone through an incredible process, because he was a veteran, to having the medical community take care of him in literally having to amputate his foot.
Wow.
And there were things that I personally went through and only could go through because of the process of, you know, being in the compassion of the people and the books that I was working with. So it has personally been a huge heart opening and growth opportunity.
Well, we read many books, and at least I hope people read many books. I love books, but I've never thought of reading a human book, and it sounds like this is a life-changing experience. And I kind of wonder if you need to say how a person reads a human book.
Well, what will happen, it's actually going to be set up where there's librarians. We have a book catalog, and so people will have a sense of the kinds of stereotypes and titles. They've actually titled their books. And then a short description, like a book cover short. And so the librarians will assist them in, you know, searching out the book. And really the book that brings discomfort, you know, not to go to a book that they're already going to feel comfortable with. And then in reading the book, it really means listening. So we're, you know, really having people just sit at the presentation. And it, as much as it's about the content of what the human book is speaking about, it's also about listening and opening up those places that you may not even notice, where you have a judgment or you have something that you avoid. And so you'll be listening to that, and we're also asking people to ask questions, not to substantiate their point of view, which is a lot of times how we ask questions, but really questions to gain further understanding, so that people can leave, you know, our hope is that people can leave with, you know, shifting a perspective or having gained greater understanding about somebody that they might normally have dismissed or even in the past blatantly, you know, made wrong. So that's what we're saying by reading. It's really going to be in people's listening and in their dialogue.
You're truly opening up people's minds, and it's so interesting because we can get pretty polarized in our communities, and we also can have some subconscious prejudices we're not even aware of, just because it could be just the way we were raised. It could be for many reasons. It could be because what we are influenced by the media we see, the people who are friends we have, you know. So, but the thing is, let's take this concept and let's take what you're doing and see how it would affect the world. And if we were to have the same attitude, possibly when we travel to another country or possibly when we hear about events happening around the world, how would you amplify what you're doing to seeing how we can understand this as creating world peace?
Well, for example, there is a woman here who is a Sikh, and she's very respected in our community. And as I said, she wears the traditional garb. And given what's happening in our world, you know, that the fact that she is mistaken sometimes as a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a daughter that I'm co-parenting who's Indian, and she is now a senior here at Birdie Valley School, which is a school here. And I have gone many times to India, and I've met with her family, and she's Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through with her when she first came here some of the prejudices that were here in Sedona about her being a Muslim, and it was right at a time when culturally we were anti-Muslim. So I saw how that impacted her.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is when we let down our prejudice and we really get into who people are, and really in not only in our mind but in our heart, when I traveled to India this past time, I arrived at 4 in the morning and was picked up by a taxi driver and taken to my daughter's home. And when I arrived there at 4:30, her mother, her father, her grandmother, her grandfather, and her brother were all there greeting me with a meal and up at that time. And I've been to many American families where that's not the case.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that people can really take down these barriers and recognize the humanity that's within all of us, and that it's really in our hearts that we're going to discover peace.
You are so right. It is in our hearts. It's in our hearts and it's within. And you can't have that peace as just a phrase to throw out. It's got to start from within. You've got to be able to feel it. And the life-changing things you're putting on here with these events, I think really do open up the heart and the mind and are life-changing. And that's really, really powerful. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Margaret Joy Weaver, Sedona, Arizona, the co-founder of Sedona International City of Peace, the 35th city of 172 cities of peace around the world, and a wonderful place for it, a wonderful place for peace. And I am so, so excited about everything you're doing. And also, I want to, we'll talk a little bit more about the Rotary tie-in as well. But with International Peace Day on the 21st, there's ways that you truly can find a way to make a difference by, no matter if you're not in Sedona and hearing this or some other place in the world, there's lots of wonderful events going on, and you certainly can create, from the basis of this, your own experience. I have a new term now of reading a living book, a person, and talking to them and listening to their story. It's such a beautiful, beautiful concept. I just am thrilled about it. So I was going to ask you a little bit more because I know you're connected and Rotary's connected with this as well. Can you explain how Rotary is partly involved in this idea and the concept and how they're involved in helping?
Yes. So the Rotary Club here in Sedona, we actually have two clubs. The Rotary Club is an organization of community leaders, and they meet, you know, regularly to exchange ideas and take action to make their community as well as the world a better place. And so in particular with the Rotary Club here in Sedona, there's a focus, there's a whole project they've done with the library. So they've been very connected with the library and really creating projects for the youth at the library. And also we've partnered together because of the commitment that the Rotary has to peace. So again, one of the things they have in many of the schools is an interact club. And last year, one of the things that we did was with the interact club in Cottonwood on International Day of Peace, there was an event and activity that took place there. So that really began our partnership with them, and now we're forming this because many of the, I want to say a little bit, if you don't mind, about the the Human Library organization itself.
Yes,
because,
yes.
I ended up having the opportunity to speak with the organizer a couple of days ago for about 30 minutes, and it was so inspiring. And his name is Ronnie Abigail, and so again, anyone who's interested, you can go to humanlibrary.org. But this started many years ago with a group of youth out of Denmark who witnessed and had a friend that was, you know, brutally injured from a violent crime.
Mm.
And he did survive, but they got together to really, as youth, to stop the violence that was happening among youth in Denmark. Within a very short period of time, they had about 30,000 youth that were involved in this Stop Violence program. So from there, the organization continued and gathered various people to come up with this Human Library event. And some of the things that they discovered was not only are people able to sit down with people, again, as I said, who they normally may have dismissed or even made wrong pretty blatantly. But on the other hand, that the methodology itself of creating this safe environment where the books are sharing themselves and we're teaching the readers how to listen and how to ask the questions that will increase understanding and bring compassion and bring empathy, it's actually being studied, but it's something like within three books or four books, it has such a profound impact on people.
Hmm.
And then people have been writing in not only the impact from that day, but how it has an impact.
Are some of these stories videotaped as well? If people go to humanlibrary.org, do you get a chance to see or hear testimonials? Great.
Yes. So there's two things that happen. One is they're developing what's called a human book depot. So what's going to happen with our event, you know, again, you can get some of these videos internationally,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to be videoing some of them.
Good.
And then they'll be on our library website. So we'll open up a human library depot where people can actually go in and over the years and then be able to take out a book.
Wow.
And listen to the people. So,
what a great story. What a great story. Now, if you want to get involved in Sedona, you have to, it starts at 4:30, but you have to arrive 15 minutes early. So you get there at 4:30, and the first one is at 4:45. There's one at 5:30, one at 6:15, and one at 7. Is it one-on-one, or is there a couple people that can listen to a few? How does it work?
Okay. So basically, we're asking people, just as you said, there's the four sessions, 4:45, and then one that starts at 5:30, 6:15, and then 7. And we're asking people to get to, they can come to all the sessions, and we're asking them to get there 15 minutes before the first session. Or they may just want to come to one session. We're asking them to come 15 minutes before that session starts. And so it's not just one-on-one. There'll be groups of up to 8 people. And mm-hmm. there may be even more for some, but we're basically organizing for there being 6 to 8 people in each group for mm-hmm. each session. And most of the 30 books are doing all 4 sessions, so you'll be able to go from one book to
wow.
another book and have 4 different books that you read that night.
I see it as not only really mind and heart altering for the person who's reading the book, but also for the person who is the living book, it's got to be very interesting as well, because they're free to finally really be themselves and in a safe environment and tell their story, right?
Absolutely. I mean, right from the beginning, even in just putting together like relating to themselves as a stereotype has been a challenge because, you know, so often what happens is people have overcome that in some way. So to really go back to that, those painful areas where that stereotype in some way, shape, or form has been challenged was challenging for people.
Mm.
The other thing is, for example, I'll just say she's a friend of mine, so I'm sure she'd be fine, but the woman who is the former Catholic nun, there's so many different issues in and around, you know, Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
and in terms of all the various abuse that's happened within the system, and, you know, also people who have left, you know, from their position, you know, in the church. So, you know, there was concern about her being there and being vulnerable and being, you know, available. So one of the things about the Human Library is at any moment when the book is uncomfortable, they can basically stand up and, you know, excuse themselves. And the way that the international organization says it is that they're going to close the book, you know, and they can close the book and then go and get a peacekeeper who will be available for them. And, you know, they can either continue or it may just be too much for them. So they're free to participate in whatever way that feels comfortable.
Well, this is, you know, it's so interesting because, number one, Sedona, and you were one of the ones that started this. I guess it was embraced, and you have a few peace poles. I guess how many peace poles are in Sedona now?
We have about 6, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so this is just kind of furthering that wonderful focus on this. I part of me loving radio and being in radio so long, I'm thinking each of these stories, if there were audio, would make very interesting interviews of things to be actually broadcast on the air. Because, you know, a lot of times people don't hear these stories.
Exactly.
Because they're not
exactly.
celebrities, they're not stars, they're not people putting on their own events. They're people who normally wouldn't get recognized, you know.
Exactly.
So I think it's very powerful to give them that opening to be heard and seen and felt, you know, in a way that you normally wouldn't do. It's beautiful. Now, Sedona Public Library number is 928-282-7714. You don't ask for people to sign up in advance. People can just show up, right?
Yes, people can just show up. So it's free to it's free to the public.
And there is a Facebook site as well. It's rather long, so you'll have to.
Right. I wouldn't go to that.
Yeah.
So
So
there's two ways that you can, again, find out more. One is, again, in terms of the concept and what happens, you can go to the humanlibrary.org website, and then also on Facebook, you can go to Human Library organization or Human Library. And then also on the Sedona International City of Peace Facebook page, you can also find out. And we're going to start actually posting some of the book covers on there over this next week before the event.
What made you start the idea of co-founding Sedona as an international city of peace?
Well, I had the fortune of being, as I said, a transformational leader for almost 20 years, and I went all over the world. So I was in India and Europe and the U.S., and so my focus in being a leader to thousands of people was for people to really find this place of peace and love in their communication in particular. And so there were so many different experiences that people were open to and things that they transformed in their life. And at the same time, I realized that we had conflicts within our own community.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, I think a lot of things were, again, both either dismissed or hidden, and that we had an opportunity to really heal those things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have an amazing community here in Sedona, not only with our residents, but with all the people that come here there's approximately 3 to 4 million people that come here from all over the world. So as much as we're a small rural city, we're also an international city. So we've had, besides this event, we have a magazine called Imagine, and we have many of the people in the community contributing to that magazine.
Wow.
And we've also had events at on International Day of Peace, where we've had the foreign exchange students speak, and then also there's the work that Andrea did with the square.
We're talking about Andrea Smith, of course, our dear friend, a wonderful artist, has done the Pieces of Peace with the children, and very, very involved in peace. And, of course, she's done peace calendars and definitely a proponent of peace as well. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a walking heart of peace, you know, in our community.
She is.
Yeah, and even in many of our galleries, there's a woman, Linda Goldenstein, as well. And also, you know, we have the Sedona International Film Festival, which I was on the board of for 10 years. And so that, too, you know, using film as a vehicle to promote peace and things like that. So Jane Perini, who is our president, had proposed Sedona being a city of peace, but wasn't connected to the international organization. So when she and I got together 5 years ago, we connected ourselves with that and then have been building the organization and this culture of peace for this period of time. And it's been hugely rewarding, you know, both as a contribution to the community, but also as a fulfillment in my own heart.
Well, I can hear it. And you know, that is so valuable that you found this cause that really does help and make a difference. And I've learned a lot. I truly didn't know about this at all. And I am really grateful to you for what you're doing, because now I'm going to explore it. I don't think I've ever participated in anything like this before, but I just think it's got amazing ramifications. And we all can, even just focusing on being centered in peace, as you said, can make a difference. But with this involvement, your heart's touched, your mind's touched, your soul's touched, you make new friends, and you see things in a different way. So I really thank you, Margaret, for what you're doing. And I think this is a really valuable event. Again, it's this Thursday. It's Thursday on the 21st at Sedona Library. Be there by 4:30. There's different segments. And it'll be very, very interesting. And mahalo. And thank you for all that you're doing. And I'd say, peace be with you always.
Thank you so much, and really thank you for communicating it to, you know, the world here, because that makes a big difference, too. We want lots of people there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, and have a wonderful peace day.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.